And welcome to the first of our four ministries on YouTube of the Prophetic Witness Movement International. And this morning we're going to be examining 1st and 2nd Thessalonians in some detail. And our main theme is wait, watch, work, and witness until the coming of the Lord. So let's open up to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and give you a little time to do it. First of all, 1st Thessalonians. Now, there's a reference to the coming of the Lord in all eight chapters of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And I think we'll start by looking at those. Let's start in 1st Thessalonians in chapter 1 and look at verse 10, please. Verse 10 of chapter 1. Wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Next one is in chapter 2 and verse 19. Chapter 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown, or of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? In chapter 3, in verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13, that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, chapter 4 and verse 15, a well-known section, chapter 4, verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. And in chapter 5, verse 23, chapter 5, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now over into the second letter, 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, again, look at verse 10. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed, when he comes in that day. Now, chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, we ask you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, the rapture and resurrection of the true church. The last one, chapter 3 and verse 5. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ, or better still, the patient waiting for Christ. Now we realize that we live in very dark days today. And in John 9 verse 4, the Lord Jesus said, the night is coming when no man can work. But of course, we are children of the day, and the night is coming, and there will be such an opportunity and the need for proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go into chapter 1 and look at a brief reading in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 to 7 after Paul's greeting. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 to 7. And Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Well, this is a very fine character of this church. Now, we know Paul was only with them for 3 weeks. We'll see that later. But Paul comments and underlines facts. Their labor of love. And the word labor there in the Greek means fatiguing work, fatiguing service for the Lord and for them in their busyness and the taking it out the gospel far and wide. it was extremely exhausting for them. That's the way to serve the Lord. So they worked while they waited for the coming of the Lord for his church. Of course, no one knew how long the church age would be, but we know that his coming is always imminent. It was then, it still is today. They were entrusted with the gospel. Paul was faithful in the gospel, as he remarks in this letter. And they were called to be servants and witnesses for the Lord. Now go into chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and we look at two verses. Chapter 2 and verse 4 and verse 9. Paul writes this, "But we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." Entrusted with the gospel, Paul was, so were these Thessalonian believers, in the light of the coming of the Lord. Verse 9, down to verse 9. "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil," Paul's testimony, "for laboring night and day, that you might not be, we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God." The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ is a power of God to those who believe, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. So Paul's testimony here of his own serving the Lord in declaring the gospel amidst much affliction and opposition. Look in chapter 2 and verse 2. "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much affliction, much conflict. Suffer much, badly treated at Philippi," you know that in Acts. "And they wanted to speak the gospel of God, witness and preach in much conflict." Well, Paul knew that, and so did these believers in Thessalonica. It was a pagan, idolatrous city, very much in Greek culture. Of course, we know that. So Paul's testimony, he declared the gospel with much conflicting opposition. Now, Paul gave a charge to these Thessalonian believers, reminding them of their calling to be worthy of the Lord in their lives and in their witness. Go to verses 11 and 12 with me. Chapter 2, 11 and 12. "As you know how we exhorted," or encouraged, "and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would live a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Lead a life worthy of the Lord, well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, these Thessalonian believers, we might call them, were eager believers and eager beavers, toiling in their work and service and witness for the Lord, and their exploits for the Lord amidst much opposition, conflict, and affliction. In other words, their faith in their lives, they were determined to be his witnesses. And they demonstrated their faith by love, by faithful witness in preaching of the gospel. Look in verse 8 with me. And Paul says, he was so affectionately longing for them. "We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God," which he did, preaching it there, "but also our own lives, because you became dear to us." See how Paul loved these dear believers in Thessalonica. They were a godly group, and Paul was only with them for 3 weeks, as we see in Acts 17 in a moment. So they received the word and related the word outward in their witness too, all around. And they were fitting examples, all the surrounding churches. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 7 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. "You became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe." Not only did they preach the gospel, they were able to teach believers as well. And they were only 3 weeks old in the Lord, as I remind you. So that's very important. They were fitting examples to all the surrounding believers in a wide area, Macedonia and Achaia, many miles away. So they were a great joy to the Apostle Paul because of their example in life and witness to the glory of the Lord. When you think about it, what joy it will be when all the believers of the true church will be gathered up to meet the Lord in the air. Resurrection and rapture. Go to chapter 2 now, verses 19 and 20. Chapter 2, 19 and 20. And Paul says this, it's like a summary, really. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. What a blessing these dear believers were. They were responding to his teaching. They responded to the gospel. They took their own responsibility and they were out there waiting for the Lord, watching in their work, waiting for the Lord and witnessing to all around them. And they would do so until the coming of the Lord. Now, they didn't know how long that would be. Neither do we. Maybe it would be very soon. That's certainly true. So they were a great joy to the Apostle Paul. Now, are we that kind of example to a believer and unbeliever alike? For that moment, they were a church active for the Lord in life and limb, the way they lived, the way they spoke. And yet they were surrounded by much affliction. Go to chapter 3 and verse 3 with me, would you? Chapter 3 and verse 3. It reminds them of the afflictions and the opposition and even persecution they were undergoing. No one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. The Christian life is far from easy. We do get opposition when we proclaim the truth of the word of God. They were not to be shaken by the afflictions. They could have been, but they were called not to be. Now, Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica to know how they were. He wanted some assurance. Were they standing in their faith? And Timothy returned with a good report of their active faith, of their love and their growth in the Lord. Look in chapter 3 with me, verses 6 and 7. First Thessalonians, chapter 3, 6 and 7. But now that Timothy has come to us, he's come back and reported from you and brought us good news of your faith and love. And that you always have a good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction, verse 7, and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Oh, how that encouraged the Apostle Paul, didn't it? How it encouraged him. That's very wonderful. So they were standing fast, standing firm in their lives, in their serving the Lord, though they were surrounded by godless opposition. They had turned from idolatry to serve the living and true God. Go back to chapter 1 and see it in verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning to us what manner of entry we had to you when he went to preach the gospel there, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There they were, witnessing, living their life, well pleasing to the Lord, and they turned to the Lord from the idolatry which they'd be very much involved in, which is very immoral and very corrupting. But they turned away from that to the Lord. What a wonderful conversion that was. What a wonderful salvation. Yeah, that is very wonderful, isn't it? They turned from idolatry to serve the living and the true God. What a tremendous change in their lives. There was much idolatry in that particular city. I won't go into the detail, but Paul had much opposition also when he was there. Now, I'd like you to go back, please, if you go to the Acts of the Apostles. Give me time to get there. The Acts of the Apostles and chapter 17. I'll give you time to get there. Acts chapter 17. And I'd like you to look, please, verse 2 onwards. Acts 17, verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and that's to the Jewish synagogue, and for three Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the scriptures. Notice that three Sabbaths, he was there 3 weeks, that's all. And he explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preached to you is the Christ. There's the gospel. And some of them were persuaded, verse 4, in a great crowd. But notice verse 5, but the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men in the marketplace and so on, and they went to attack the house of Jason. So Paul had to leave after 3 weeks. You can see that in verse 10. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. They were there for 3 weeks, no longer than that. But he was there explaining and expounding the scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel and the messianic truths about him. So these wonderful Christians in Thessalonica had only heard for 3 weeks everything that Paul wanted to declare. Salvation, yes, the gospel, yes, but also teaching them, as we'll see in a moment, quite a depth of teaching, especially on Bible prophecy to them. 3 weeks old in the faith, how about that? So in chapter 1 and verse 7, back to 1 Thessalonians again, if you will, please. You can see there that they were examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, a wide area. The conduct of these believers and the conversation of the gospel sounded out a great distance to north and southern Greece. Just like a trumpet sounding out, so far was their witness. They were waiting, watching, working, and witnessing, not knowing when the Lord would come, but faithful and desiring to please the Lord in all that they were and what they were doing. That was very wonderful, wasn't it? Sounding the trumpet? Oh, yes. And waiting for the trumpet from the Lord? Yes. Oh, yes. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, you don't need to look it up now. I'll quote it. If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? Well, the gospel was there in Thessalonica, and what a battle there was, with much opposition. Sound the trumpet with a certain sound. No mistakes, get the gospel truth out, as we should do. The gospel was there in a battle in Thessalonica and surrounding area. And they served not just as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a stronger word. The word doulos really means slave. That's the meaning of the word. A servant slave, willingly and sacrificially, cost them something. Now, let's get to the core of this. Let's go to chapter 1 and verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, not only did they turn to God from living, or to idols, to the living God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So there they were called to wait. Now the word there really means to wait up, wait up. Wait up expectant, watching, alert, for the possible sound of the trumpet of the Lord. Constant in endurance and the afflictions they had. And they had a triumphant, certain hope. They had a certain hope. So do we. It's because your redemption draws near. That's true. Luke 21, verse 28 says this. Look up. Lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. This means, in the Greek, stretch your neck. Oh, wow, about that. Stretch your neck. Look up. Anticipate. Looking for a glimpse of the coming of the Lord. Well, you shouldn't have to be ready for that because we don't know when he's coming. But we'll be so quick, yet we should be suddenly with him in a split second.